Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Again. I'll tell you why they feel that way. Because they almost feel like the price of admission is too high.
Yeah.
And so most of the people I know are saving their way into investing, which is impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible to grow a portfolio by saving because you got to live a life.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and with me today is Rafiq Moore. Rafiq, how are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Awesome. Well, Rafiq, I appreciate you joining me. I'm excited to have you on the show and tell our listeners about what you got going on, what you're doing. So why don't you give everybody just a little bit of a background of, you know, what your experience is and what you got going on right now.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on your show, Todd. I appreciate it. I think you have a great thing going with the show, and it's great to share information with people who are looking to learn and get into this real estate business that we're in. So I own and manage Caspian Group. And actually, that's not a correct statement. I don't own it. I think the company really owns me right now. but I run basically Caspian Group, which is a small real estate investment company. We buy, stabilize, and remodel and stabilize small commercial real estate. We buy industrial buildings, retail, some office buildings, buy them distressed. We have a management company, brokerage, which we lease and sell these properties, and we also have a little construction division that helps us do tenant improvements and do various construction projects.
Okay.
We have about 250 tenants right now in our portfolio, and our goal is to stable, you know, keep these properties stable and keep growing the portfolio in the next 5 years.
Okay. So Rafiq, what was your background? How did you get into commercial? Because it sounds like right now you've got a bunch of tenants, but how did you get to that point?
So first of all, I got into real estate by default. My education is finance. Believe it or not, first 4 years of my education career was in medicine. I was going to be a doctor. And then I was not able to get into medical school for financial reasons after graduating with a degree. In a bachelor's degree, I realize that there's another 4 years of schooling and 3 years of residency, and it's just it's too long. In my pursuit of getting a medical degree, I did all my biology and chemistry and things like that for pre-med, and I decided to do finance of all the industries. And having gotten a degree in finance, I fell in love with it, and I graduated with a degree in finance from Carleton School of Management. So now we are. So after graduating, I worked for a lending institution as an underwriter. Then I became a sales guy and broker and mortgage broker. And after the whole mortgage broker collapse, a mortgage industry collapse in 2007-08, I slowly started rehabbing and selling houses, buying and selling houses. And that's sort of started my residential career. And in 2012, I met a mentor who completely changed the direction of my pursuit in real estate from houses to commercial real estate. And I'm very glad that I met him, because he basically changed my life.
Well, let's talk about that then. So you're doing flips, and I knew you back in, I don't know when we met first, but during the flipping days where you were flipping a lot of houses, I was flipping a lot of houses. I know you're buying and keeping a lot of those houses too. So you had a bunch of rentals. I think you told me one time you wanted, 100 single families or something like that. But the light bulb went off. So talk to us about, this mentor, and how did the light bulb go off and what changed?
So it's interesting how I think we're all a product of having watched too many late night infomercials from Carlton Sheets and Robert Kiyosaki and all that stuff. So in my pursuit of financial independence, I thought if I have 100 homes and each home provided $300 of positive cash flow a month, it would be a nice living, $30,000 a month in passive income.
Yeah.
What I didn't know at the time is that if you have $30,000, if you have 100 rentals, you will have basically 100 problems you have to solve on a monthly basis. And in housing, you don't necessarily deal with a lot of people who are super successful. People who rent homes are generally not exactly, multimillionaires. So you deal with people who are, while there might be good people, they're just struggling through life, because in the United States of America, with all the lending and all the credit available, anybody who has a good education and good job can buy a house. So what I didn't see, and my mentor opened my eyes to it, he says, look, look at your tenants and look at my tenants. Your tenants are all, they're not very successful, and my tenants are all business owners. And if you just analyze that, you surround yourself with a whole bunch of people who are not very successful versus I surround myself with a whole bunch of successful people who want to grow and run businesses. By sheer, difference in mental, I wouldn't say quality, but capacity of these tenants, you will have a better business. And he was right. The other thing I liked about commercial real estate is the fact that leases are longer. Most leases are 3 to 5 years, and in residential, every 12 months you got to re-tenant the space. And I was so tired of taking a property back that I remodeled, and I have to spend another $10,000 to $15,000. Well, my $300 a month amounts to $3,600 of cash flow profit. But when they remodel, when they destroy your property, you come back and basically are in the hole. And that was the most frustrating thing about owning houses, especially, we had a lot of houses in not so great neighborhoods. And so, you go in there, and it's really hard to bring in a tenant, a good tenant, into a neighborhood that doesn't really have a good reputation. And you're stuck with tenants that are not really good. So that's where I was going. When I met my mentor, I was going through a lot of that. I mean, the copper being cut out and people not paying rent and going to court. And I was very frustrated, because while I had about 82 houses, the cash flow I was supposed to get out of it was really not even close to what I thought it would be.
Right.
It was almost a wash. So that's where my eyes opened when I bought the first building, first commercial property, and all the tenants paid on time every month without any hiccups. I was like, man, this is beautiful. And I don't have to worry about re-tenanting these spaces for 3 years and stuff. That's where the light bulb went off and I realized, man, I'm in the wrong industry.
So I've got one commercial building, so I don't have a lot of experience with commercial tenants, but I've had problems. That's all I've had with the commercial building.
Really?
Yeah. So the tenants never pay. Tenants, you know, I have to evict them. Yeah, it's been only problems.
Did you do the background check on your tenants?
Yeah, so it's been very difficult in this commercial space to get tenants with established businesses. So I'm dealing with mostly newer. But I'm not talking about me. So anyways, so how do you with these buildings? That's what I wanted to get at. You know, what are you doing to be successful to make sure you're getting those good tenants and attracting the people that you're talking about that are successful, that want to be successful, that are these, you know, business leaders?
Don't get me wrong. We do have issues too. We have some tenants that every now and then go through our smell test and not exactly good people. And I don't really want to knock on residential real estate either, because I have a lot of friends who own a lot of homes and do really well. I think my issues in residential realm came not from, you know, buying houses, but maybe buying houses that are really, really cheap. I mean, at one time I bought 20 houses at a one closing, all in one neighborhood at $40,000 a piece. I mean, when you get in that sort of a deal, you expect numbers to be different from what they actually turn out to be. So commercial real estate is the same thing. You want to find a well-located real estate that can allow people to have great cash flow and, I mean, exposure, and it has to work for your tenants. And if you find a really, really good commercial real estate, a piece of commercial real estate property in a bad neighborhood, it will be tough for you, just the same as if you are doing houses.
Yeah.
So I think location is extremely important.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So talk to us about one of your biggest mistakes, and you can either relate it to when you're doing the single families or now in commercial. One of your biggest mistakes, and how did you learn from it, or business general?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about one of the biggest mistakes, but I can tell you this right now. My life is ridden with mistakes. I mean, I feel like I make so many mistakes. It's sad. And what sucks the most is when you made a mistake in the past and you learned from it, and then 5 years later, you forgot it and made the same mistake. So mistakes in my realm are around hiring wrong people to work in my business. I'm dealing with an issue right now where it was a wrong hire. Mistakes sometimes are from bringing a wrong tenant into one of our properties. So the key, you know, speaking philosophically, the key to have a good life and good business is to really focus a lot on finding the right people, finding the good people, and bending backwards to accommodate them, maybe give them more than, you know, and really not, and having a really good safeguards from people who are unscrupulous, people who don't have the qualities of integrity and humility and other qualities that really make it a good human being. So, I think that's where my main mistakes have originated from, is really in involving myself with the wrong people and then paying the price for getting involved with them. I feel like just no matter how much money you make, you always lose at the end.
Yeah.
Any specific problems? I mean, I had a partnership where I was buying a property. And in our business, because it's such a high capital business, I always have to bring in one partner who will come in with majority of capital. And when you deal with unscrupulous people, they always try to find a way to cheat, you know, cut you out of a deal or whatever. So that was a very recent mistake where I wasn't able to get the deal done because the person basically decided to cut me out, and that's fine. I'll let him have it. But I don't think, you know, I have a lot of mistakes in all other aspects of my life. So I feel like mistakes are things that make us grow and learn, and hopefully we'll be better from having learned from them.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. I've made 100 mistakes or more. And yeah, you got to grow and learn from them. So let's talk about, you mentioned about getting capital for these deals. And obviously anybody listening that's doing real estate understands that, getting capital from deals. So let's talk a little bit about kind of your philosophy on that, and how do you get these deals taken down and continue to grow?
I attribute, capital procurement and deal structuring to two things. First of all, you have to have the skill. You have to know what you're doing. You have to understand apartments in your case and know them, really, really well. Know exactly the kind of rents you can get, understand the market. And skill comes from basically being a master of your game. And that's only half of the battle. The other side of the coin is having the right philosophy. I think many people cut themselves or shoot themselves in the foot when they try to, when they are dishonest with their investors, with people they do business with, be it vendors, contractors, subcontractors, or whatnot. So I think being a decent human being and, sticking to values like integrity and humility and hard work ethic and commitment to excellence are all the things that are extremely important in growing as a business. I mean, I know guys that are really successful, but because they have bad, people who could be successful, I should say, but because they have a bad philosophy, their skill is useless because nobody wants to do business with them. Right. And there's a lot of guys like that, unfortunately, in our industry. And a lot of people that are very simple but don't have the knowledge, don't want to study, learn, improve themselves. And while they're good, good human beings, decent, hardworking, honest, they just don't have the skill. So in my humble opinion, if you really study and improve yourself and work at your, hone your skills every day and read books, meet with mentors and improve, and then have the right philosophy, I mean, there's no way you will not be successful in this business. And the question then becomes how hard you want to work and how high you want to get. Because when you get to a certain level, money does not become a driving factor anymore. Making $300,000, $400,000 a year in income becomes easy for people who are in the same field, in the same industry for 10 years, for example. And then from there on, do you want to work more and make a million, make 10 million, make 20 million? Or do you want to make $300,000 to $400,000 and have a good life and spend time with your kids and family, et cetera?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I love it. So what drives you right now to continue continue to grow your business or keep it where it's at? What's driving you right now?
I was in that self-inquiry. I come to work every day at, 7 or 8 o'clock. I leave home. I work 10 to 12 hours every day. And I keep asking myself, and I think what drives me is sharing. I really enjoy the process of sharing my, experience, knowledge, connections with people who want to grow and become successful. So I get calls all the time from people who say, I want to get into commercial real estate. Can you give me advice? And I like to help with whatever I can. So sharing and growing, we are, as a company, a small company today, and we kind of stick together and watch each other's backs, if you will, and try to almost have like a family type atmosphere. Part of it is really keeping this thing together. I mean, we have about 20 employees here, and I come to work to provide employment for my team and grow them. And they're all driven to you know, excellence, and they all have interests in growing passive income for their lives. So sharing in that sense, you know, sharing with young brokers who want to learn and get to a level of success is what drives me. But I don't see myself retiring ever. I mean, I love pursuit of deals. I love working on deals. And I'm not going to tell you I kill myself to get deals. And that's where our prior conversation earlier was, you know, I can talk about anything, but I don't have to do it. I don't want to do it if it's going to be at the cost of a relationship with a friend or somebody in the industry. So I'm happy to help. I'm happy to collaborate and do a deal, but I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I like that philosophy. I mean, to expand on what you just said, it's exactly what I believe too. I mean, if you were talking to me before and I mentioned a deal that I was interested in and, you know, I don't have it under contract and you're like, look, my philosophy is I'm not going to take your deal. If you tell me about a deal, I'm not going to take it from you. Yeah. That's a great philosophy to have because you're not going to burn any bridges doing that. You're going to keep those relationships, and those relationships are going to be in the long run more important than that one single deal that you did.
Yeah. So, and I'll tell you one thing that I value a lot. I think if I were to start this thing all over again in Minneapolis and I had zero assets, the relationships I created over the last 15 years in this industry, I think I should be able to basically get up to the same level of assets that I have today in the next 5, maybe 10 years. Because these relationships are so important. And so I will never burn a bridge or a relationship over a deal, because deals are a dime a dozen. There's a lot of deals. They'll always come and go. But with creating these key alliances and relationships with people who are important for in your network for what you're doing are priceless.
Yeah.
And that's where, I mean, so in my mind, the value is placed more on a relationship in anything, like in brokerage. I would never do a deal without paying a broker, or I would just walk away, or a partner who wants to do a deal and they get something under contract or whatever, or they're talking about a deal. It's the deal is not important, is not as important as the relationship with that person. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's great. I mean, and that's exactly why you would be able to rebuild it very quickly. Yeah. If anything ever happened, you'd be fine. So
thank you.
Well, let's take us through this mind shift, because you started this finance person. You kind of told us the story but let's take us through the mind shift and how you became an entrepreneur. So going from working for somebody to shifting into, why did you decide an entrepreneur is the right avenue for you?
You know, as I sort of try to self-analyze, I feel like entrepreneurship is I almost feel like it's like a gene. Some people have it and others just don't have it. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not a gene. Maybe a lot of entrepreneurial people are asleep and they need to be woken up. I don't know. But in my life, I remember the day when I was 22 years old, when I was sitting at a job, I was making 12 bucks an hour. And the guy who looked at me was my coworker. And we were talking about entrepreneurship. He said, you know what? I can totally see how you will be an entrepreneur soon. You just have that in you. And I did not see it. I was like, what? I didn't believe in it. So I was like, man, if you can see it and I don't see it, that's pretty interesting. And looking back, I was totally not an entrepreneur mindset at the time. I just basically, I wanted to have a stable salary and make, I remember at the time, I wanted to make $42,000 was my peak of excitement. But if I make $42,000 a year, man, I've got it made. I can buy me a Camry. I wanted a Camry at the time. But looking back, I've always tried to improve, like read books and learn more about a particular subject matter. And I don't know, entrepreneurship is an extremely, I was asked recently by a good mentor of mine. He says, you know, would you wish your life to your son? And my knee-jerk reaction was like, yeah, of course. But then I sort of I thought about it for a second. I said, you know what? No, I cannot say that I wish my life to my son if he doesn't want to be an entrepreneur. Because if you don't have that mindset, you know, we have zero sense of security. We don't have, you know, we can be wiped out tomorrow. Economy tanks, rates go up. We're basically on the street. And not everybody can live with that. And so it takes a certain mental state, takes a certain, I look at some of my friends who are bankers and make $100,000 a year and they're happy. They go travel and they go to their jobs every day and life is good. And they don't ever care in the world. They do some investing on the side. And sometimes I think, is that a better life? You go to sleep well? Because for me, I can't sleep nights sometimes. You know, all the stress, I got so much debt, personally guaranteed. You know, I mean, you probably have the same situation, Todd. And, you know, I think my answer is you either an entrepreneur or you're not. I don't think they can be a gray area, but I don't know. It's a question I'm trying to basically discover an answer for.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, you're either in or you're not, because like you said, there's sleepless nights. It's not for everyone. There's plenty of sleepless nights. There's plenty of worry, even when things are going really well, like they are for you. And, you know, you still think of like, what happens if this, you know, shifts? What happens if this, you know?
Because your whole livelihood depends on it. And you got kids now.
You got kids.
We got to provide for it.
Yeah. You got to still pay for your house and you got your kids. And it's like, what happens if just this happens and shifts? And now I got all this, like you said, dad out there. I've got other investors. I got my family. I've got to worry about all this stuff. Even though you're doing really well today, you still think about it all the time. So there's a burden. And when you're working, like you said, as a banker, making $100,000 a year, there's no burden.
Yeah, I mean, you basically know it's all, the salary's always going to be there.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a nice cushy 401k and IRA and stuff that's, you know, keeps accumulating over time.
Well, and there's 30 other banker jobs available if you want to move. So
if I ever fail, that would be my fallback. I'll be a banker. That's actually one of my nightmares, that I'll fail and then I'll have to go and get a job.
Yeah. Well, you know what? But that's a good thing to understand that you can do, at least in my mind. And my wife asked me, you know, not too long ago, she was nervous because I made this shift from single family, mostly single family, to now buying only apartment buildings. She's like, you know, what happens if things don't go well and everything kind of goes away? And I said, well, first of all, it's not going to happen. But if it did, I could go get a job tomorrow and I could make 50 grand tomorrow.
Easily, yeah. I'm a really good maintenance guy, by the way. If I ever lose it, I can totally work. I'm good. I realized I was on the roof the other day. Man, I'm good.
there you go. I mean, so that's the thing is yeah, you don't want to. That's not the goal, but there's always that fallback if you need. So tell us about your goals for your company moving forward. Where do you want to grow and what do you want to be? What's
so we sort of are rolling out a new program. We want to attract brokers, cream de la creme of broker community. We want to have about 10 brokers who will be driven, who will have the you know, all of the characteristics we look for, like integrity and humility. And we want to involve all these brokers in deals with us. Here's what I've discovered recently, Todd, is that when you are alone and you own all that real estate, people that work for you, as much as they're good people, they have a good heart, they have a good mind, they're smart people, they don't care. After they go home, they sleep well, it's not their real estate. They don't care. Now, I have this formula in mind. If every deal I buy, the guy that is my friend, my broker, my mentee, if you will, gets 10% of the action. I put him in the 10% of the deal, and I work him, and I'll say, listen, that 10% is yours, but you got to provide a to 95% occupancy, if you will. Then, hopefully, the guy that I brought into the deal will work on that deal night and day and stabilize it and have that stake in that deal. That will allow for me not to worry about deals after we stabilized it, because I like the engagement in pursuit of deals. I like to put deals together. Managing is a whole different ballgame. Managing and leasing the properties after it's stable, it's basically a chores, you know? Yeah. But if I have 10 guys that each have about $10 million of real estate with me and they own 10% of it, and they don't have to really come up with any money to do it. I'll fund a deal and I'll work on it with them. But if they really work hard, and I'm not just going to do it with anybody, it's got to be the right type of guy, I think I can make 10 millionaires in the next 10 years. And in the meantime, these holdings are going to be overseen by me in partnership, where I'll make sure that they are aware of, they understand the industry, they understand the leasing and stuff. So I'll mentor them. I'll make sure that they get to their destination. And if I have 10 guys with $10 million, I'll have a very, very headache-free $100 million portfolio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Otherwise, having a $100 million portfolio all for myself with the passive investors, where I have to answer all the questions, I have to answer all the issues, it's becoming kind of a lot of work.
Yeah,
I don't want that stress. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm on the right track, but I'm going to explore and play with that idea.
Sure.
And if God will help me to find those guys, I will definitely put my heart and soul into developing them and make some pretty good. You know, some guys are very, very wealthy.
Well, maybe this podcast will help you find some guys.
Yeah, thank you.
You never know. I mean, there's opportunity. I mean, that's a great opportunity for people that want to get into. One of the things I see with brokers is a lot of brokers sell real estate and they see it every day, but they don't own it. And I never get that. Why don't you own some real estate? But they're again.
I'll tell you why they feel that way. Because they almost feel like the price of admission is too high.
Yeah.
So most of the people I know are saving their way into investing, which is impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible to grow a portfolio by saving, because you got to live a life. You got to, you know, pay for a house, you know, weddings and like kids and, you know, cars and whatever, the vacations. And it's really, really hard to be disciplined and set aside 30, 50% of your income where, you know, inflation and everything else is there. So paradigm shift is what I want from the people who work for me, because if you are working hard every day and if you work with us, for example, your commission for the deal that we're working on will not even get into your pocket. So it's like it never happened. But you will get, instead of getting a cash in your bank account, you will have equity in the deal. And you can still close other deals and have a good lifestyle and pay your bills and stuff, but you can set aside, similar to like a 401k, but on steroids, within 5 years, you can set aside, you know, $500,000, $1 million of equity, and you're all set.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a.
So that's what I'm thinking about.
I love it. I love the idea. I think it's fantastic. Help both you and these brokers grow. So,
yeah.
Okay, cool. So you talked about some books you like reading. What's either one of your favorite books that you can share, or a book that you're reading right now that you really like?
So recently I've stumbled upon a book by Ray Dalio.
Yeah.
Called The Principles.
Yeah.
I really love that book. It's an amazing collection of principles that Ray Dalio used to build his business and basically his life. Ray Dalio is a billionaire. He's a self-made guy.
Yep.
And he is a rock star in the equities world. He runs the largest hedge fund. And his hedge fund is so large that the second the hedge fund after him is three times or half the size of his. And he's the highest, biggest. Bridgewater and Associates is the company.
Yeah.
And I love that book. And I listened to it on Audible. I've been listening to it over and over again because I think it's just filled with a lot of nuggets of wisdom. And he kind of breaks it down to, you know, almost activities that you have to be involved in to be successful. And I love that book. Otherwise, I try to read a book a month or listen to. I sometimes read or listen. I've recently been listening and reading, actually, a book called Extreme Ownership. By these guys.
Ridge, sorry. The Division of Recorded Books presents The 48.
I was going to find the book and I pressed the wrong button. My bad. But anyway, so these Navy SEALs, right?
Yeah.
Extreme Ownership. They have written a book about...
I got that book.
And they sort of connected that, you know, being in the battlefield and owning your mistakes and owning your decisions where your life depends on it or life or your crew depends on it and applying it in the corporate world is so amazing. I love that approach and I'm sort of, I'm in the middle of that book right now.
Okay. Extreme Ownership. Cool. All right. I got a couple more for you here. What's one daily habit that you do to help you with your success?
daily habit. Well, I'll tell you one of the things that I do on a daily basis and I want my guys to do it, is organize your thoughts and organize your day before you start it.
Yeah.
So, we are bombarded by small tasks on a daily basis. I mean, a million things you got to do. And if you don't sit down and clear your mind for 5 minutes and write it all down, it's hard. It's very easy for a day to go by. And by the time you finish today, you haven't touched all these tasks. So on a daily basis, I sit down, write it as soon as I come to the office. So if I don't work from the office, if I'm out of town somewhere, I write down everything I got to do that day in the order of priority. And basically I go down the list in executing all the tasks and it's been pretty good for me because I have a lot of tasks that I have to be involved in on a daily basis. So I would totally recommend people to write down their daily activities and perform them.
Cool. So last thing is you have one thing you can share with everybody on the secret to, you know, financial freedom, secret to, you know, how do you get there? What's that one piece of advice that you would share?
I'd say that the one piece of advice I would share about, you know, getting to where you want to go is really a continuous growth. I think people don't recognize the importance of growing, and now I'm talking about growing mentally, you know, reading books and improving yourself, improving your knowledge of subject matter, or improving your philosophy by consistently exposing yourself to the information that will help you. You see, one of the most important things in life is reading, because every single problem that's ever existed and has been solved over the millions of years that we've existed as a civilization, or 6,000 years, depending on who we're talking to, have been recorded in the scripts, you know, tablets, books, and having access to it is a luxury that a lot of people take for granted. You know, in the ancient Egypt, the Library of Alexandria was a very, very private collection that was only available to the wealthiest and the highest level of civilization and was not available for commoners. Now we have access to everything that has ever been documented, can be at the tip of the fingertips, and we really don't use it as much as we should. So my advice is to, whenever you have a problem, find a solution in books. And if you want to be a really good commercial real estate or a real estate investor, if you want to become very successful in residential real estate game, there's a lot of books that will break it down to basic steps. You know, Nothing Down by Robert Allen. I mean, the Robert Kiyosaki's books. I mean, there are so many books where if you just read them, the answers are all there. And you can basically create a blueprint and walk all these, the path that is going to be laid out in those books. So that's my recommendation. And of course, the other thing would be to be a good human being and be honest and humble and create a great network of people who will uplift you and who will stand behind you and who will invest with you in your endeavor.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. So last thing, how do people get in touch with you?
I am available online. I have my email, Rafik@CaspianRealty.com. My phone number, of course, I get bombarded with calls.
Are you sure you want to get that?
Yeah. So my phone, it rings a lot, and it's hard to I got to return a lot of calls. So I think the best thing is to get a hold of me by email. And my office is located in Edina at 7401 Bushlick Road. But yeah, I mean, anybody who can get a hold of me, you know, Google me. I'm on LinkedIn, Rafik Moore. And we have a social media, Caspian Realty MN, Facebook, and I think Instagram and stuff. So yeah, I mean, getting a hold of me is not that hard through all these social media outlets.
Yeah. And
so, but thank you.
You're probably everywhere. Right. Well, Rafik, I appreciate you being on the show and taking the time out of your day to share with everybody your experiences and valuable insight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Todd. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, you have a great rest of the day.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. Special thanks to Rafik Moore for joining us on the show. And always fun to hear from Rafik. He's got a lot going on. Always pounding and getting deals done. It seems like everybody I talk to, in the Twin Cities at least, knows who Rafik is and is impressed by what he's doing and what he's got going on. So congratulations to him. Few things I took from this podcast, among others, is first of all, he talks about the need to partner and be partners with the right people, and not just with anybody, but with the right people, people that are going to be in alignment with you, people that are going to have your same drive, your same ethics, all that kind of stuff. And so that's definitely big for Rafik. Next thing is, and this is kind of the same line, but relationships. And he talks about forming and keeping relationships. And he talks about the deal takes the back seat. He's going to pass on a deal if that's going to wreck a relationship. He's not going to do business with somebody if it's going to wreck a relationship and not going to talk bad about people and that kind of thing. So he always wants to make sure he's not burning bridges along the way and just make sure that he's taking care of people that are around him and surrounding him. So definitely a great thing. And the last thing he talked about is having the right philosophy. And Rafik kind of specifically was talking about, you know, being honest, be ethical, and make sure your values are straight. And the successful people have their values the right way, and people that could be successful but have their values backwards never end up being successful, or maybe they have some short success, but then, you know, you get caught eventually. People don't trust you or whatever the case is, and eventually your luck's going to run out. And so just being honest, having those good values from the start, I think is massively important. So I appreciate Rafik speaking to that as well. So awesome job, Rafik. I appreciate him being on the show and sharing with us his valuable insights, talking about his business and his successes along the way. Check us out on Facebook. You can go ahead and go on Facebook and write us on Facebook. We do the Hump Day Hustle, so you can write us a question. You can also tell us, you know, if you've got a guest that you'd like to see on the show. But then go on to iTunes and subscribe to the show and give us a rating review. That's going to help us out a lot, help us be able to grow. So go on iTunes, give us a rating review, subscribe, share us out. Share us out on your social sites so people can see what we're doing and take a listen. I'm Todd Dexheimer. I am signing out. Make every day a Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with HomeInvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today.